Right, okay. We ready? Sorry, is it Van Tramp or Van Tromp?
I love that we got that before.
Van Tramp.
It's Tromp.
Van Tromp.
Tromp. Van Tromp. Yeah, I've always had Tramp or Tromp. I love that.
Okay.
And I'm not sure which one's worse, to be honest.
Okay.
Yeah, it's Tromp.
Fuck.
Okay. Yeah. T-R-O.
Okay. Hey, guys. Welcome to Playtime, episode 10 of season 3. And today, we have a very special guest, Robert Van Tramp.
You know what, Charlie? You can go and fuck yourself.
Oh, my God. Okay, the reason why we're laughing is because before we played, Charlie goes, is it Van Tramp or Van Tromp? Anyway, and he goes, Van Tromp. And then you just start going, we've got Robert Van Tramp.
And today's guest is Robert Van Tramp. Ah, cheers, mate. Appreciate that one.
I'm so sorry, mate.
What a way to start.
Sorry. So we got Robert Van Tromp. I'm so sorry, mate.
Thank you, Charlie.
I'm so
how
sorry.
How are you today, mate? So, how's it going? How are you?
Yeah, very well. Thank you for having me on.
No, thank you for coming, mate.
Episode 10.
Episode 10. That's it. So, yeah, we thought we'd get you on because you are the dating expert. And
is that what you'd say? Dating expert? Is that how you describe yourself?
I think dating expert sounds extreme. Not that I don't think I have a lot of experience in the field, but I just think that I would rather view myself as a coach or a strategist.
Okay. Mm. So a relationship coach.
Yeah.
Dating coach.
Dating coach. Yeah. Yeah. Because the reason why I distinguish the difference between dating and relationships, and I think all coaches should, because relationship coaching really comes under having a counselor or some kind of therapist to help with your relationships. And also, I think dating and kind of navigating the minefield of dating, what is in 2023?
Yeah. 2023.
Yeah.
Episode 10. 2023. We're good.
Yeah, I just think it's very, very different fields. Yeah. And, you know, I kind of wanted to go into that field really with the aim of making people more comfortable to go and date, but also with the primary focus of making them feel confident with themselves.
That's a great thing to do. Yeah. I mean, I said I was getting everyone on here to help our audience out, but really I need help.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, you're here for Charlie.
I've been single for years, mate. So you're going to have to give me some advice. So, yeah, I guess some of the questions that a lot of our sort of audience want to know, like stuff like how would you deal with coming out of a long-term relationship?
And the reason why he says this is because we had an amazing guest, a Patreon guest who's just come out of a long-term relationship. That's actually a good first question. What are the advice for that?
So, I mean, coming out of a relationship, I mean, depends on how your relationship ended. Mm. I mean, are we really talking about your...
No, we're not talking about
you. We're not talking about you. It's like, oh, is this about a friend?
No, we're definitely not talking about
me. This is a therapy session
right
now.
Asking for a friend.
Yeah, yeah.
No. Just generally, I mean, like, I feel like in a lot of the comments, whenever we talk about relationships, we get a lot of people asking a few questions, which I was going to ask you today. One of them is, how do you deal with coming out of a long-term relationship? Mm.
Well, I mean, coming out of a long-term relationship, if it was quite a toxic ending, let's go with that assumption. We don't know the full story of what happened or whatever. But if it was quite a toxic ending, then I think first and foremost, I think it's about maybe taking some time off dating. It's not to say that you can't go back into, you know, meeting people whilst you're still healing from that. But I think it's a priority to actually step back and work on yourself for a bit, whether that's, you know, working on the small components of your day to try and build up, you know, the confidence. The way I was looking at it, for example, I think if you do come out of a long-term relationship and let's say that person has broken up with you, naturally anybody, doesn't matter whether you're the most confident in the world, you will have a bit of a pride knock and your ego might take a bit of a beating, I think is the best word to describe it. Mm. And I think the best way to kind of get your confidence back is to actually go back to the drawing board, start doing the small things right. Like whether that's going to the gym regularly, you know, make sure you're eating healthy rather than kind of, you know, junk eating after, because you just, you know, you see it on the rom-coms after you've had a bad breakup and they're eating all the popcorn or like the
ice cream.
I was about to say Five Guys. Five Guys is nice.
Mate, Five Guys is delicious. Five Guys is great.
But you know, you get my gist. And I think it's about kind of trying to build your confidence back up and build the reputation that you have of yourself before going back out into the dating world.
Is there a difference between men and women in breakups, like how they deal with it? Because I think also we have this kind of like, it's been going on for years, you know, it's like, oh, when men break up, they automatically go out and nights out, try to hook up with loads of different girls, and girls heal in a different way. Like, what is that changing? Do you speak to men and women differently when you talk about that sort of advice?
Yeah, because I feel there's this common conception that girls tend to digest it emotionally a lot better than guys do. I think guys tend to hold stuff in. I don't know. What do you think?
So, I mean, I should mention as well, primarily I normally focus on those individuals that are dating men.
Yeah.
So in terms of how people heal and whatever, I think guys notoriously, like you said, will be like, oh yeah, I'm fine. You know what? I'll go out and, you know what? Hook up with a few girls here and there, you know?
Yeah.
Go out to the goat. Yep. You know, I think like that's the kind of
literally
I literally described your life.
Yeah. Hey, all right, that's me.
So that it's that kind of style where I think they will kind of tend to lead to that kind of behavior, whereas girls, this is without generalizing, obviously everyone's different, but generally females will absorb it in a kind of an immediate fashion where they're upset straight away, and maybe they kind of digest it differently to as a guy. And I think you always see, don't you, where guys maybe after a 2 or 3 month period, and then maybe they maybe haven't gone out onto the dating world as quickly as they would liked, or found someone to fill the void as quickly as that they had liked. And then they may get that message of, oh yeah, I miss you, when it comes in at like 2 a.m. in the morning and your phone lights up, for example.
So how would you advise someone to deal with that if you got an ex messaging you saying, I miss you?
So this one actually comes up quite a lot, and I have a lot of people message me about this, because I think when we're caught in the emotion, and particularly for females, and like I said, it's not a generalization, but generally females will kind of feel the heartbreak quicker from the start. And when they get that message saying, I miss you, I think it's a really important one. Not to say that you should go and open up your phone and go and, oh, okay, yeah, I miss you too, let's meet up. Because you have to look at the context of why someone would miss you. If they're messaging you late at night at 2 a.m. saying, I miss you, then you have to kind of understand what component do they miss. And a lot of it might just be the physical side. And so I think it's important to look at that message and be like, are they saying I choose you or I pick you, rather than just saying I miss you? Because we don't really know what context they miss you in. And that's really important, because I think people act on instinct, and when they're like, oh okay, yeah, I'll just reply back because I'm heartbroken, I miss you too, but it's probably not the right way to go about things.
Yeah.
Is it healthy to, I guess in this...
I just imagine receiving a message just at 2 a.m, I choose you. Can you imagine that?
I choose you.
I choose you. It's a good way of putting it, though.
Because the thing is, I think as a guy saying this, I think it's very easy to talk a good game over messages.
Yeah.
And it's very easy to be saying and say, oh, I miss you. You know, like you're feeling lonely, you know, in the early stages of the morning, and you're like, okay, I miss you, and hoping that person will respond back.
Yeah.
Because you've hanging on their heartstrings going, oh yeah, okay, well, I miss you too, Robert. Let's hang out.
What does it mean? Because the I miss you is they're trying to fill a certain part of what they need, rather than what that partner needs, I'm assuming. Because if they're broken up and over a few months they don't want to go, essentially the relationship ended for a reason, that miss you, it's more, I feel like sometimes it's more telling on what you need if you broke up with the person, rather than you actually miss that person.
Yeah of course. And the thing is as well, it's a classic saying, but actions speak a lot more than words. And I know it's a kind of a hang-off saying, but with regards to dating and previous relationships, actions notoriously carry a lot more weight and value. So if that person does miss you, it's like saying, for example, I'll messaging a girl going, oh, do you want to come over? And it's like 7 p.m., 8 p.m., okay? And you have messaged them all day.
Oof.
Like, you saying that, or saying, oh, like, oh, do you want to hang out, come to mine? There's no real, if this is like a first time of meeting someone, the actions are pretty clear what that guy wants, in my eyes, if you're asking him to come over straight away.
Yeah.
So
why, so, okay, this is interesting, because it seems very clear to me that that is what the action is, right? If a guy messages you, you know, in the evening, what are you up to? Do you want to come around? Do you want to watch a film and all that? If the girl doesn't want that hookup and she actually likes the person, why do they still go? And because I feel like they would know, they would understand that message, or do they kind of ignore it?
Is it the way I would see that is it's an element of they see that, but they're not strong enough to say no, or to rephrase it in a way that is perhaps like, no, let's not meet up and go around yours. Let's go for a drink another time.
So what is it?
I was going to say, so, you know, one of the biggest problem areas with regards to females trying to date and finding a partner, I think, is wasting time. And when wasting time, and that's whether that's dating the wrong guys or that's, you know, investing time with situations or scenarios where they're just simply not going anywhere. And that's kind of the biggest problem area, I think, in dating. And it has been for a long time, because it's very hard to know when you are wasting your time, because without adequate qualification of dates, then you don't really know whether you're wasting your time or not. So the classic case for that, where if someone, a guy was to message you and say, oh, well, can you come over and let's hang out, da, 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 and it's late in the evening, in my eyes, it's very clear what that guy wants. And if it's the particularly if it's the first time meeting them. Now, my response to that, if I was a girl in her shoes, I would say, I'm not available tonight, but I will be free on X day, X time next week if you'd like to take me on a date. And then what that does is that simply, that gives two outcomes. So the first outcome would be you secure yourself a date for next week. Happy days, another date.
Lovely
stuff, great. Yeah. Or the second outcome would be, you know, you're wasting your time.
Yeah.
And it's just like little things like that where you can just kind of just alter the way you text, save you so much time. But like you said, a lot of girls act on, you know, our chemistry they might have had with the messaging or whatever. And then maybe they've had a few margaritas. Is that the song? You know, so I get it. And that's just kind of my way of navigating that.
Yeah, no, it's a good approach for sure. Because I mean, I don't know, that kind of brings me to, obviously, there's girls that do just want to have casual, like, hookups as well, as do some guys. Like, would you advise them to do the same thing, or would you just advise them to be completely open?
Well, this is the thing, right? Situationships.
Because it's almost like, I feel those sort of things where both the guy and the girl wants casual hookup, it's never directly said. You don't say it black and white. You don't say it like that, do you?
I think, I have in the past.
So how would you message someone saying that then?
Well, I've said in the past, like, to be completely honest with you, I'm not looking for anything serious. I'm up for having a bit of fun if you are up in that mindset. If not, no worries.
No, you're right. Yeah.
I know.
I'm actually right.
I know I'm right.
Just shut the fuck up. Well, no, the thing is, I think as long as you give them the door to walk out, metaphorically, if you give them the door to walk out, then, for example, like situationships as a whole, I think it's about, like you just said, Miles, have to be honest with yourself. If as a guy and you're going, oh, okay, yeah, I just want to have some casual sex with someone. And that girl is to say, oh, yeah, but I want to have casual sex too. Okay, but do you? Because I think a lot of times we say stuff that we don't actually mean. So it's about being honest with ourselves about what we actually want, first and foremost. And then the second thing is, if your aim is to find someone and you're sitting in this situationship, it's a classic opportunity cost, because you're wasting your time with someone where you could be out meeting someone else who wants to actually sustain a genuine relationship. And that's the problem. That is the problem with situations. And we've all been in them. Mm. We've all been in them. And in the past, where situationships where it's like, oh, you know, but they keep breadcrumbing. Familiar with the term?
Miles has done that a lot of time.
So basically, and it's a lot of that where it's kind of a lot of broken promises where maybe the girl was thinking, oh, you know, there may be that relationship that's around the corner, and he's like, oh yeah, but it's not right. I'm not just not ready yet, but give me a couple of months, and I might be there.
Let them hold on to something that actually might never happen.
Leading them on a bit. So
exactly.
So what then would you say to someone that is dating someone that they like that's not ready to commit?
It's about having an open communication. And I think...
So I'll give you a scenario.
Go on.
This girl's dating someone. They've been having like a few dates.
So it's a scenario. It's someone that we know who's very close, who's in this room.
That wasn't even what I was asking.
Charlie, come now. You've got open floor here. Come on, we need to.
Yo, I wasn't
even talking about
it. Who are we talking about?
I thought you were. You were like,
who are we talking about? Who are we talking about?
No. We're not talking about anyone. But no, this is actually completely hypothetical. I wasn't even talking about who you're talking about.
Okay.
But say this girl's been dating someone for a little while.
Yeah.
And the guy has kind of just been like putting off that commitment.
Oh, okay.
What do they do?
Well, first and foremost, understand why he's putting off that commitment. And because, listen, guys, love to make excuses.
Yeah.
We really do.
Yeah.
Love to make excuses. Yeah. We're made to be like, oh, okay, oh, I'm having a lot of work, got a lot at the moment, or just come out of a long-term relationship. Listen, there's so much that could be going on right now for a guy. And did you get a message?
Yeah.
Popping off.
Sorry.
Is that that girl we're just talking about?
No. No.
And so
That cracked me up because I genuinely thought that you were going to say that scenario. I'm like, fair play.
No.
Look at Laurie getting really annoyed as well.
That one for
we
after.
Can talk about it.
There's actually, we can without. Yeah, I think after you answer this, because I'm very actually intrigued to see what you would say about his situation.
Of course, yeah. So with this one, like I said, if the girl genuinely likes him and does he like her as well? But he's not ready to commit.
Well, we don't know.
Mm.
Well, no, I think it's one of those things where it works for him right now in his lifestyle. And that's like you just said, you know, he's got lots on work, career, you know, come out relationship, whatever it is. He likes her enough to have her around, but not enough to make it official.
Of course. Yeah. Well, this is another one that's very, very popular. And I think if the guy you're seeing is not ready for a relationship, go out, meet lots of other guys, go on lots of other dates, and ultimately go and actually enjoy yourself and enjoy dating. Because unless he's actually made his intentions clear about being in a relationship, you're single.
Mm.
And that's quite savage. But how often do we see people just waiting around for someone when they are not ready to commit? Listen, there's a ton of other guys that will be ready to commit.
Mm.
So don't be thinking, oh, you know, I'm missing out, this and that. You're not. You might be having your tunnel vision?
That's what.
Tunnel vision. You know, tunnel vision at the moment. But trust me, there's plenty of other guys that will fit the bill exactly the same as this guy. You've just gotten caught up right now because the guy's breadcrumbing you into a state where you are making yourself believe he's the only one. And there's a genuine reason why he can't commit thus yet. But ultimately, I don't think you should walk away from situationship without having this open communication with someone. You can't just be like, okay, no, it's done. You know, I don't do this anymore.
But why are people so scared to communicate? Because it's like, it's the one thing that saves everything in even if you're in a long-term relationship, if you're dating in the beginning. I think it's probably one of the healthiest things I've noticed in recent times is being really honest with someone that you're dating or you're with. Why in this generation, even the old generation, why are people so why are men so feared of actually talking to their partner?
I have an opinion on this. I think it's because
I asked him though. I just have to ask a question. You keep going. So I think I'm like, yeah, but I'm asking him.
You go ahead.
Oh, after he's answered, we are interviewing him. He's like, by the way,
no.
Hold this one, Rob.
Like, don't worry, tramp. It's all good, bro. It's all good. Tramp. I got this one. Shut the fuck up, Johnny.
This, this one's for me.
No, I think just guys just struggle to be more open. And I think if there is a situation where they are breadcrumbing and they want to maybe date multiple people, then they guess what? They will try and find multiple excuses to have their cake and eat it.
Yeah.
It really comes down to that. And I'm not saying every person you're in a situationship right now is doing that, but ultimately if they're preventing from putting any kind of label on your relationship and they are just calling you late at night and they're not organizing any dates or anything in the day and they're just like withholding introducing you to your close friends or family, then guess what? In my eyes, I don't believe they're that serious about you. And you're right now, you are just an option to them.
Yeah, I mean, that is... Yeah.
Hot truth.
That's definitely a red flag when they're not introducing you to like close friends and stuff, isn't it?
It depends how long it is. I mean, if like after maybe two dates and they go, oh, I want to meet your friends, but it's obviously within reason. But if you've been seeing them over a sustained period of time and they've made no effort to actually get to know your friends or, you know, introduce them to their friends and their family, it's very, very static.
Yeah. So what are some of the like common red flags you'd look for?
Oh, good question, Charlie.
I know, shocking.
So I think the first one I would say is the one I just mentioned, and that's only contacting you late in the evening and never actually organizing any kind of dates. Because if a guy does want just one thing, it's about trying to get to that desired outcome as quickly and efficiently as they can. Sex. So as quickly as they can get to sex, the more seamless and less resistant it is for a guy who only wants that.
Mm.
So
not to cut you on the red flag side, I want to hear all of them. So that's interesting because, you know, I have this view of the whole putting out question, right? Do you know, girls always seem to be like, oh, no, you got to wait for the third date. You know, wait for that. I disagree completely in the sense that when I've hooked up with my previous ex, we were together for 3 years, right?
Yeah.
We slept on the first night. So for me, I always think as a man, you know what you want as soon as it happens anyway. Like you could wait maybe a week, 2 weeks until you guys go to the bed. But even if the guy kind of knows that he's not interested, once he gets what he wants, I guess, he's done anyway. So you waiting or not doesn't actually change anything. But that's my view on things. Is that a thing? Should women wait a bit longer? How does someone navigate that?
Yeah, good question. So I think like that's a much discussed topic. And I think a lot of girls have the impression that they have to have sex with someone straight away in order to maintain their interest. Now, I think the idea that you thinking that you have to, you know, sleep with someone straight away because you risk like losing them is like a self-fulfilling prophecy, right? Whereby if you give it to them straight away, like if you have sex with them straight away, right off the bat, naturally, 9 times out of 10, a guy's gonna do it, right? And they're going to take the path of least resistance. But if you literally wait, that person, that guy will be forced to get to know you to see if there's a relationship there. But will be so focused on getting to know you so focused hormonally and getting to know you physically that it will be difficult. So as a female, if you do decide to bide your time and you do decide to make that person wait and that person does decide to leave, then trust me when I say it, that person probably didn't want to get to know you that much anyway.
That's hard pill to swallow, that one.
100%. It's true though, isn't it?
No, it is. Yeah, very, very true. It's quite hard for, I think, women to figure that out though, because you don't, you know, I know guys who have put so much effort just to sleep with a girl and then they've done it and they're like, sweet, bye.
Yeah. So this is the thing. I would never say, oh, okay, if you sleep with someone straight away, then you won't have a relationship with them. Because that's almost like saying, well, if you meet someone on a dating app, you can't have a serious relationship. Because we can't generalize every single person. Mm. I mean, for example, I'm going to a wedding next year that they met on Tinder. You know, so it's like...
Yeah. That's mad.
Wow.
It's crazy.
Tinder and love.
And people were like, oh, Tinder, that's just like a hookup app. Well, I'm sure a lot of the time it is, but there's still the percentage of people that meet on there that actually are in a serious relationship. So it's very hard to say, oh, okay, if you sleep with someone straight away, it's going to end up like this. But my understanding, if you have concerns that person is going to leave straight away, then wait.
Yeah.
You don't have to. And also, it's about being comfortable about what you want to do. If you want to sleep with someone straight away, sleep with someone straight away. If you want to wait, wait. But actually knowing and navigating it in the way that I said it, if you do decide to bide your time and that person does actually decide to leave, then you know that person was never that serious about you anyway.
Yeah.
Was never serious about getting to know you anyway.
Yeah.
So that's it.
So you touched on dating apps. What are your thoughts on them? Are you a single man yourself?
I'm a single man.
Are you on dating apps?
Yes. You may be an expert coach and everything, but I know a guy when he goes...
Yes, I'm actually not.
I used to. Do you know what? I'll be honest. I'll be honest. The reason,
hinge.
No, one of the reasons why I wanted to go down this field is because I'll be open and honest. You know, a lot of my 20s, I was a shit. You know, and I did a lot of this stuff whereby I would see maybe different girls, and I'd be in lots of apps, and I would message 15 girls at the same time, and I'd meet different locations. And you know, at the time, it feels amazing, you know. But it's like you now it's true, you know. You do, you know.
Invincible.
Yeah, you do. You feel invincible at the time, and I feel like, you know, a lot of it catches up with you. Like I said, I haven't had anyone turn up at the door yet, like Charlie mentioned. But that was a real story. You said. But so I guess as a coach, I know the tricks. I know the tricks and I know the strategies that a lot of guys will play. And I think that's kind of why I wanted to go into this field, because I knew a lot about what guys notoriously want on a first day and what they'd be looking for. And even just like, for example, like texting and the inner details of how guys navigate dating. That's kind of the reason why I wanted to pursue this path.
Okay, so I've got a really good, interesting question then. Do and can men change? Because you said, you know, you've come from that background. You know, the reason why you're in this line of work is because you know all the tricks and trades, because you did it. Mm. You were someone and you grew out of it, and you... Do men change? Can men change from that? Because obviously, that's what we're kind of... I don't want to say brought up to be, like, men and boys, like when you're like growing up and you're starting dating, it's the whole, it's the chase, it's the numbers, it's like, that's always been the culture.
Of course.
Does it change? How does a man go from boy to man, I guess?
Oh, that is a deep...
You're welcome.
You are welcome. You are very welcome. So yeah, I think that... changing, everyone has different timelines. Right. And it's that classic scenario where maybe boys were sitting around the table at a pub and they'll be saying, oh, okay, is it out of your system yet? And that, I know that that's maybe a saying that's only really familiar with guys, but it's in relation to, I guess, like, have you been fulfilled enough to the point where you are comfortable and confident that you are only interested in this one girl, for example? And that's kind of where I'm going with that. I think everyone has their own timelines with that. So it's not a case of, okay, when you turn 28, now actually you want a serious relationship.
That's what happened to me. Literally, I'm like, that's what I was like, yeah, okay, now I'm 28, all right, here we go, it's time to figure it out.
I think as men do get older, we naturally want to settle down more and want to have more of a serious relationship and want to have a kind of a partner in crime that can kind of improve the quality of our life. I think that's really important. Until you actually find someone who actually improves the quality of your life, whether you're a female or a male, then I think you're not in the right relationship.
Oh, fuck, it's been fast.
Because they're improving quality, and I'm not just talking about like on monetary form of like, you know, you have more money, but I'm talking about, does that person support you? Is that person there for you when you're having a hard time, you know, at work? Do they build you up? Do they make you feel good about themselves? It's all these different things. And so I think as a guy, maybe it just takes longer to actually mature and find exactly what you're looking for.
Yeah. I mean, that's
the best way to answer it.
No, that's a very
great, great, deep, deep question to a deep answer.
Yeah,
love it.
Yeah. No, that's a great answer. No, but I think I actually know quite a few guys. I just can never, ever see them being in that frame of mind.
Yeah.
And I just think some guys are just wired that way.
It makes me sad though. And sometimes for a long time, it made me go, oh my God, I hope I'm not that person who, I'm not going to say names, but you know, we know some people in their 40s, you know, I think I know who I'm talking about. Yeah, again, you did that twice today.
Do I know who I'm
big,
talking
big
about?
Big baby.
Do I know who you're talking about?
Anyway, it doesn't matter. But, you know, and you look at them and you go, your lifestyle has never changed since your 20s and you're still doing the same thing.
Yeah.
And it's scary because, like you said there, it's like, when is enough? Like, when have you've done that now? You feel, you know, you happy that you've experienced all of this and it's time to settle down and find someone you can, you know, be a team player with and create an amazing life and someone who's an add-on into your life, which is really, really important in relationships. But some people don't grow out of that stage.
No, and I think, yes, I tend to agree. And I actually know myself. Yeah, I know that there are guys like that as well. And I think a lot of it, unfortunately, comes down to a validation. And it's, you know, maybe they crave that external validation to make them feel a little bit better about the situation. About maybe if they've got a rocky relationship or they've got a kind of a rocky marriage, it's that kind of route where they are craving that validation because maybe they feel a lack of confidence or their relationship's not completely content with one another. There's lots of different factors, but yeah, I mean, growing out of it, like I said, it's everyone's got their own timelines. I think if you can get to an age where people are looking around you and going, oh, is this guy ever going to grow up?
Yeah.
It's just unfortunate, isn't it? We don't.
Yeah, it is.
You know, I don't know what, there's not much to say on it. If you're getting to an age where everyone is looking at you like, come on, man, just grow up a little bit.
Yeah, it's a bit of a sad existence, isn't it, when you see them? And everyone, like, they stick out like a sore thumb.
It's
a bit of a sad existence. But sorry, just to go back to what I asked a question about the red flags, it'd be interesting to get your take, because we only went one in, I think. So what are the red flags you look for normally in a, well, is that, what are the normal red flags?
Red flags in a man, I guess, because obviously...
In a man, so I guess from a female looking for a serious partner, we'll look at this on this particular scenario, and red flags in a guy.
Mm.
So red flags could be, like I said, anything from only wanting to meet up with you late in the evening, never organizing any dates, never introducing you to their close friends or their family, only making the conversation about sex is another one. Because if you can't have a conversation about, you know, anything else, and it's only about that particular topic, then it's only really a physical relationship from their point of view.
That's interesting.
So I think that's
changed my chat.
I was like, I was wondering why that was.
So I wonder why that didn't go well.
Yeah.
She said she'd love doggy. I thought that was what you wanted.
That is hilarious. No, I obviously not for me, but that is interesting that I don't, for, like, me and my life of dating, I actually think I really don't talk about sex. Like, I've always found that, like, to be a topic when it, I know I've defined it as a casual partner.
Yep.
You know, when it's a casual, I always think also, you know, going back to what we were saying in the beginning, when you do start, like, if it's someone you've never really met or you're just, you know, you're texting, if you start the conversation with just sexual kind of, like, you know, you reply to some flame emojis and whatever it is, and that's where it kind of starts and it begins. That's when you know it's, okay, this is going to be a casual thing. And you're talking about that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
That's like, that's the defining moment, I guess, also.
Yeah. And the thing is as well, like I said, with regards to their desired outcome, if they're a fuckboy and they only want to have sex with you, then guess what? Any situation or scenario where they can meet you in the four walls of a bedroom, they will do that. Are they going to come to your best friend's daughter's bar mitzvah? Probably not, you know?
Yeah, no.
So, like, you know, like this stuff like this, and that's a very niche example.
Yeah, I was going to say, wow. When you said I went best friend's sister for this, I was like, oh, get out.
Know, but one of yours, right? I'm the best. I can relate.
Yeah. So it's
sorry, babe.
Can't turn up to this.
Yeah.
But no, it's stuff like that, you know, like, Will they go with you and your friends to, you know, to lunch or to a daytime event? If they're making all the excuses and they only want to come see you in the evening, then you have to question what their motives are. Because if you were genuinely were serious about getting to know someone and wanted them to be part of your life, then you wouldn't be confused. You would have clarity.
Spitting facts again.
You mentioned that you're not on dating apps, right?
Yeah.
Do you think that they're a breeding ground for basically hookups? And if you...
A breeding ground?
So, sounds like a bit of a loaded question, actually.
Yeah.
So what are they hookup apps?
Can you tell me which ones?
No, because, like, that is my opinion. That was a loaded question. I'll give you that. But
we saw that one coming. I wonder what Charlie's opinion is on that.
Yeah, tell us, expert. Come on.
How would you advise a girl looking to date who's looking for something serious?
Be intentional, and I think first and foremost, if you are looking for something serious. And because a lot of girls will say, oh, there's just, you know, there's no good guys out there. If you can't be seen, then you can't be heard, right? So you have to be in situations where you're going to meet guys. So there's no like, oh, okay, let me go on like one date a month and think that's going to be adequate to find someone. Like, it's probably not. You know, I lived with two girls last year and... I used to say, why are you laughing?
No.
And I used to say to them, oh, you know, like, oh, how things go in. They're like, oh yeah, I really like this guy, but you know, he is like giving me like a few red flags here and there. I'm like, well, go on more dates then. Go and meet other guys. Like, why are you just resting your laurels on meeting one person?
But isn't that because girls find, again, and this is a societal thing, which is really, really sad. If you date a lot or you seem to be dating a lot, you're seen as a slut or you're seen as someone who is...
That's a bit strong.
No, sorry. I've heard, like, not, I'm not saying this. I'm saying that society views women who go on dates a lot, who are seen to go on dates a lot, is not like it doesn't look good, right? And which is sad because it's like men are allowed to go on numerous amounts of dates or, you know, hook up whenever they want and there's no label there. But maybe, because I know a lot of girls who date like that as well, who only go one or two dates, not a lot, and they go, there's no one there. And it's like, well, you're not dating a lot. But I feel like the conversation is always like, I don't want to be viewed as I'm dating loads.
Do you know what? There are so many benefits of girls dating more than one person at the same time. And like, even just, for example, just your mindset, where if you have a scarcity mindset of just, oh, okay, where I only have one person who I'm focusing on, then you're putting all your eggs in one basket. Whereas if you have an abundance mindset of I have more than one option here, and obviously doing it in a respectful way, whereby, you know, you're not, you haven't got a boyfriend, you're going out meeting other guys. If you are in your dating, you know, dating period, go and meet more than one guy, because like I said, having that abundance mindset will give you the feeling that it's more relaxed. You're not putting so much pressure on every single dating scenario. So you're having a lot more chilled and relaxed moments on your date, rather than thinking, oh, well, if this doesn't go well, then it's the end of the world. When it's not.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's really, really not. And also the other thing as well is comparison. Comparison's massive. And that's not just red flags, but it's also green flags as well. So if you have more than one guy that you're speaking to, compare them. You know, has this guy got different qualities that you like? Has this guy certain red flags that are completely a no-goer for me? They're a showstopper. Then comparison's massive. And like you said, the society will make you think that as a girl, you can only go and date one person at a time. If they haven't made their intentions clear about it being in a serious relationship, go on more than one date.
Also, I think from a guy's perspective, it's going to make that girl, like, if I was dating a girl that's like not so easily, this might sound like I'm a bit twisted, but
I know what you're going to say. But
if there's someone not so
it might
easy,
sound like, or
I am,
you are.
If someone isn't completely readily available, you know, a girl, i.e. that puts all their eggs in one basket, that's often not as appealing to a male, I'd say, because it's like almost like harder to get, maybe more like of a...
Well, we have this thing, right? And we've said this on our early stage of our podcast, and we say that we love the chase, right? Mm. There's a thing, and I think all men do, there's a sense of like, when you get what you want straight away, we're easy. It doesn't matter how attractive the person is or how amazing she is. You're like, okay, well, I've got you so easily or so quickly. The lack of trying to get you, or the being on your toes a bit with someone, is kind of gone. You're not really interested as a man.
Yeah.
So I think if you hit it, like what you're trying to say, if you know that she is maybe dating a few other guys at the same time and it's more relaxed, you're kind of like, oh, okay, I'm not the only guy. That
exactly.
It keeps you on your toes. That, that's how I was trying to put it. Thank you.
Yeah.
No, it's true. Yeah, 100%. If you have the impression as a guy that they are only just dating you, then A, there's no urgency, and B, you just, like I said, you are kind of the chief and commander in chief, sorry, everywhere around. Commander in chief of this scenario. You've got the power, in essence. When I think if you're a girl, you should go and date multiple guys and actually enjoy dating. That's, you know, it's meant to be an enjoyable thing, right? It shouldn't be there shouldn't be so much pressure on going out and meeting people. It should be, let me go and enjoy myself and meet people from different backgrounds, different cultures, and actually enjoy myself and actually discover what it is I'm actually looking for.
Yeah, and also that doesn't mean because you're going on multiple dates, you're sleeping with multiple guys. You can go out and 100%. Date someone, meet them, do multiple things and not be like that far down the line. And that's probably where the confusion comes when, you know, people get branded like, oh, you're dating loads of guys. That's fine though, right?
Yeah, of course. And on the flip side as well, if there is one guy that you do decide that you actually... you know, you decide, okay, I really like, and they are kind of playing that, like we said earlier, oh, I'm not really like interested right now, like, you know, like, got so much going on, like, ah, oh, you know, like,
oh, we've all been there.
Work's crazy.
I love
work's,
this
yeah. Like, work's crazy. Ah, oh, like, you know, my grandma's in town. Like, you know, so,
what are these examples, bro? Bar mitzvah, my nan. You know what?
It's just, I've just on my head.
This is what I used to do. Sorry, nan is here, so I can't really be out.
Like, some of the ones. Just Charlie's noting them down.
Exactly. Lot the nan. Great one to do.
So, but like the classic, and one of my favorite lines is actually, you know, why are you running after somebody who has no desire to be caught? And chasing someone is exactly that. Because if you're chasing someone who has literally doesn't want the same thing as you do, but you're so hooked on the idea the ideal outcome that they do, then you're going to be caught in this hole of disappointment, because it's never going to happen. And that's harsh reality, but the more and more you chase them and the more and more effort you put into wanting to see them, because they've given you no effort, you're making the situation worse and you're going to get yourself more and more disappointed. When actually you should literally quietly move on and accept the fact that not everyone is going to be a good fit for you. It's not a rejection, it's redirection.
So I've got a question. I've got two questions, but I'm going to do the first one first. What do you think is the number one problem in dating in this day and age? Like, what do you think is, yeah, what is the one problem in dating at the moment?
Ooh. I think the biggest problem in dating in 2023 is that people will find what they're looking for and then keep looking.
So true.
So
We've both been guilty of that.
Oh my God.
We've spoken about this before.
So true.
Because there's so much like access and options, right? Yeah.
100%.
And has, you know, this is something we've spoken about on our, you know, podcast, and when we feel that we're the experts of dating, but
we're not.
But, and it's really, honestly, can I just say, really amazing having you on. It's a lot of insight here.
Appreciate that, Mark.
You know, I love technology. I love what it brings. You know, without technology, we wouldn't be able to do this amazing podcast. We wouldn't be able to do so many things that has advanced us in life, right? But at the same time, I do feel like it takes us back a little bit. You know, I look at my parents, how they met on a flyer, on a post saying, looking for a housemate, and then they got together and that's it, right? There was no social media. There was no constantly looking at pictures of other people, knowing about other people's lives on TV. We have all of this accessibility to everyone's information that sometimes I feel like it really takes away from dating today.
Yeah.
You know, you meet someone really amazing, yet you're like, oh, but they don't tick all the boxes. I could look maybe someone else. And it just never ends. Like, how do you navigate yourself in this sort of world that we live in at the moment?
Well, that was actually, I listened to one of Chris Williamson, and he was
we love him.
Yeah, so I listened to one of the studies that he brought up the other day, and I thought it was really interesting, because anything that's about dating and a kind of previous research on it, I think is really, really insightful. And there was one that he brought up, and he said that in 2009, 50,000 men were asked whether they had had sex in the last year.
Yeah, I've seen this one.
Okay, and that figure was 10%. So 10% of those guys, or 50,000 men, had not had sex in the last year.
That's mad.
And in 2009, Tinder was introduced, right? So 13 years later, in 2022, 50,000 men were asked whether they'd had sex in the last year. And that figure had grown from 10% to 30%. And one of the biggest factors of that, and one of the reasons that a lot of, you know, experts have put those data down to, is the fact that girls ultimately resent being on dating apps, and they will look at only the top 10% of elite men. So I think there was the four factors. It was like location, job, height, and I think just appearance. And so that 10% of men were having more sex, but ultimately the rest were having less sex. So that figure had actually grown to 30% in 2022. And that's with increased mobile apps, like you said, increased transparency, increased availability of people, access to people all around, you know, your postcode technology, everything like that. Like you just said, you would have thought it would make dating a lot easier, but ultimately it has probably made things harder.
Yeah. It's quite sad when you hear those stats, you know, and again, like knowing that these apps are made to help dating, I guess. You know, especially, I mean, we did say like Tinder is probably seen as one of those apps that are mainly for hookup society and all that. But that figure seems extreme.
It's mental. I mean, like, surely there needs to be some sort of app that's generated that creates like events that is more face to face, because that would eliminate it, because it's just so easy to siphon out a certain percentile of people who, there might be someone in there who's perfect for you that doesn't have, like, they might be 5'9" or like, do you know what I mean?
But it's so
methodical how you split people out these days on these apps.
But also we were speaking about this even another podcast we just did, you know, there is, and going to that bracket you just said, you know, that 10% of men, that the ideal man that women are looking for, because of these, I hate to say it, because of podcasts as well, and, you know, TikTok and these viral like comments with these guys talking about the top, you know, 10% of men, you got to be this, you got to earn this. Women now are looking solely for this and losing the connection with someone and going, okay, he has to hit this criteria. And if he doesn't, then you're not for me. And that puts a lot, and that 10%, you know, it's so funny when you hear, you know, people going, oh yeah, you've got to be earning over 100K a year.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know how many people earn over 100K a year? Like, not a lot.
Yeah, small percent.
A very small percent. Mm. And it's really difficult. And I think for men, you know, even in their early 20s, thinking, okay, I have to do this to get the ideal girl for myself.
Yeah, and I think like the Tinder apps, or, you know, was kind of the first on the scene. It was very much just a, okay, appearance, swipe, 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 swipe. And then kind of Hinge came along where it added a more of a personality, you know, you could make a few jokes.
It's funny, Hinge.
Yeah.
The music and voice, the voice notes. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And there is an opportunity to kind of, I guess, show your character a lot more. But if we were to literally sit down and ask people whether they focused on that or someone's appearance or their location or their work rather than their, you know, their jokes or their seemingly their first glance of their personality, I guarantee still more people would say they look at their looks and their job, their location over those things. But actually, ultimately, personality, well.
But there's the balance also you got to look at, you know, you could fall in love with personality. You can really like for someone who is, you know, funny and great and you think they're the right person. But I guess if there's not an initial attraction there, that makes it quite difficult.
Of course. Yeah.
You know, I think there has to be a sexual desire attached to it. Otherwise, you've just got a really good friend. Am I wrong? I'm just asking.
Yeah. Well, it's not to say that you can't be friends with someone and then it becomes a romantic thing. Because I think it can, but...
I guess Mars is trying to say you need to have some physical attraction for it to be, otherwise it's just a friendship, right?
Well, yes, in essence. Yeah, because I think if you are your boy, you're probably also not going to swipe to them if they don't find them attractive.
Yeah.
So they probably would never get a chance to be your friend, but...
yeah.
Unless you randomly met them out.
Yeah.
So we saw each other on Tinder. But
didn't match.
Didn't
swipe.
You didn't swipe, but can we be friends now?
Want to come to a bar mitzvah?
Meet my nan, she's in town at the moment.
Oh dear.
Fucking hell, that is unbelievable. Great. Okay, I wanted to go, obviously this is great, and I think a lot of women who watch us are going to find this great, because there's a lot of unanswered questions for them. For you, your background a little bit, I'm intrigued. Obviously, we found out that you did a TV show, Too Hot to Handle, and not to go massive into that, but how were you doing coaching like you do now before you got into that show, that reality show?
No, so it's kind of, I definitely wasn't doing any of that prior to going on the show. Ultimately, it kind of stemmed from the fact that I wanted to kind of take a different direction, and I felt like, particularly when I was living with the two girls, and I kind of really had a real insight into their dating lives, and I never really had that before, because I was always from a guy standpoint where, like I said, you know, maybe in my early 20s was a bit of a shit, and I would always only ever see it from my perspective. So living with two girls and seeing the roller coaster that is dating from their side was really insightful, and that's kind of where I got the idea and on wanting to take this approach. And I kind of looked up other dating coaches and kind of what they were doing. And a lot of it is quite filtered. And I wanted to kind of give an unfiltered approach to it. And this is kind of where I wanted to go with it and actually make people, make people more content to go and date rather than just I'm rambling on it.
No, it's fine.
But you know, what I was saying is like, I think there's a lot of female dating coaches, not throwing any shade or anything like that, but it's very much kind of focusing on like female energy and being the best you can be, which is fantastic. But I think ultimately it's about the practical side of things in dating. And from a man's perspective, I think it's really, really useful to have, because like I said, I've been there and I've done it, and I know exactly the different tricks and the strategies that guys will play in those scenarios. And I wanted to be able to kind of educate and make people more aware, but also, like I said, it goes back to that making people more confident in themselves as well, because that's a large part of why I wanted to do it. Because as a personal trainer as well, I wanted to kind of give people a bit more confidence in themselves to actually then go on and kind of undertake all these dates that they wish they could go on, but they don't feel confident enough to do so.
So you said you're single, right?
Yeah.
I've got a question about how you date, because I'm intrigued to know how women, when they know what you do, because it, I don't know, if a girl goes, oh, and you know, I'm a dating coach, I guess.
I don't tell them.
Okay, not at all.
Don't tell them.
Do you give them a feedback form after?
Survey. Here you go.
No.
Here's where you can improve.
Yeah. You did very well, but unfortunately.
I don't tell them. And when I did all my certifications and kind of decided I was going to go down the dating coach route, I did sit there and think, am I really doing this? Like, am I really doing this? Because my background, I would never have thought I'd be in this situation, you know, and I'm not saying I was the worst of all guys in dating, but I also wasn't probably one of the best. So, you know, I kind of, when I was undertaking it, I was like, wow, like, am I kind of really going down this route? But then actually the more that I like talking about it and the more that I'm interested in dating psychology, the more it feels natural for me to kind of.
But I also think you saying that, I think your background actually is so well positioned to advise on it, because you've been that guy and you know how the male brain works to the like not extreme end, but you know, more of the like the guy that's used to essentially mess about a bit, I guess. So I guess you're really well positioned to do that.
Yeah, I guess from that side of things, yeah. But I guess I also wanted to have, you know, some kind of certification to actually be able to do it, because it's very easy to be like, I've gone on to it to handle, and now I'm a coach now.
I'm
a coach, so I can tell you how to date. But they were like, well, weren't you just on this dating program?
Yeah.
You know, so I wanted to actually have some substance,
of course,
to then be able to say, well, listen, I have the theory, but I also have the practical knowledge as well to be able to put you in the best situation.
Mm. So when did you have your moment? Because we were talking about that, you know, it kind of clicks where you go from boy to man, I guess, and that moment of you're no longer going to bar mitzvahs and having nans come to visit. When was it, after the dating show, or was it when you thought, okay, I kind of want to look down this route of, you know, coaching and see what happens there, or how did that actually come about for yourself?
So it's definitely after the dating show. I think would I have ever have gone down this route if it wasn't for that show? Maybe not, because I think that show was really about recruiting individuals that didn't want to have any kind of relationships and maybe were notorious for hookups and whatnot. So that kind of led me to think, okay, well, this is definitely an area that I feel I know a lot about, but also that I'm actually passionate about and I can speak about. So that's kind of where the history is on it. In a very strange fashion, you go on a dating show and then you turn up to be a coach, but it's a very strange transition. But at the same time, it felt quite natural at the time.
So you before the show were still kind of having your fun dating, and then it kind of, after that show, it made you realize a little bit more about yourself and about what you actually want, I guess in a long-term relationship or finding a partner.
Well, it's interesting because with the show, and obviously as you both know, I mean, I'm preaching to the choir here, not everything that happens is always going to be shown on TV.
Yep.
So we all know that. And, you know, I was actually asked to leave to at the handle.
No way. What happened?
I was thrown off the show, but I was asked to leave because And the way in which they framed it was, you know, like, oh, because I wasn't taking
the risk.
I wasn't taking the program seriously. So me and my ex girlfriend were asked to leave the show because we weren't taking the rules of trying to improve ourselves and build an emotional connection. But actually, the reality is we were doing the complete opposite of that. You know, I'd met someone who I really liked, and I just wasn't actually happy to go and meet other people in the show. And therefore, like lots of other shows, they want to kind of reflect in a way that makes you look like,
yeah,
a different. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
We all know.
Yeah.
You know, like,
we.
It's like that classic, you know, on Love Island where someone comes out from a date and like, oh, naturally, all the girls will sit in one space and then all the guys will sit in another space and we'll all talk about that date. It's like, we know that hasn't happened.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, you know, it's so manufactured, but that's what makes TV and it works, right? So that's kind of where, so we were, myself and my ex were, we left the show and.
So you did leave early then?
We left show early and left with her, and it wasn't like, oh, this idea came up straight away, but it was like I was in a situation where I looked at this relationship as in a serious way, and we were together, I think, for just under a year. Living different locations didn't help in terms of our split, but
where did she live?
She lives in Milan.
Okay.
Yeah. So it did make me think, okay, I'm looking for a relationship, but this maybe isn't the right one.
Mm.
So that kind of, it's kind of, yeah, it's kind of, even though it's 2.5 years ago now we're on that show, it still feels relatively fresh.
So almost that, you know, that relationship and that show showed you not only that, you know, the path that you wanted to go into your career, but also it opened your eyes to actually, I do want a relationship.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean that it sounds bad to say that, but she made you see that even though she wasn't the right person for you to have a relationship, but it made you go, okay, cool. Now I'm ready for that next step when I do find the right person.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think like we said earlier, you know, you have different stages as a man where, you know, am I ready to meet someone? Am I just here to have fun or whatever? You know, understanding your maturity as a man, I think, is really important. Where you're at in the cycle, are you actually genuinely looking for someone, or do you think you're actually looking for someone? And I think that before the show, I was like, oh, okay, you know, if I find someone, great. Blah, blah. Found someone I did really like, wasn't to be, but it did, you know, the big lessons from that relationship were actually, you know what, Robbie, you actually are ready now to meet someone if that right person came along. And that's, I think, if any relationships can teach you something, there's always lessons to be made from them, bad or good.
Got knowledge out here. So before we come to the end of the episode, something that you kind of touched upon very briefly, and I think it's something that everyone wants to know about and how to also deal with it, is rejection. How do you deal with rejection? Because it can really send you sideways, you know? And how to be more confident to deal with it. I think that's a really important way to see it.
How to embrace it as well.
Yeah.
Because it's part of the process, isn't it?
Well, look, the reality that everyone is going to be a good fit for us is just, it's just not a thing. It's just not a thing. Like, everyone has their own values, their own preferences, their own boundaries, standards, you know, like it's, we're living in an absolute minefield, like I said at the start, which is dating. So to think that every person you go on a date with should like you and should want to pursue something with you, it's not the case. It's never going to be the case, because people want different things to you all the time, and what they might want and what you want and, you know, their morals, their values could be completely different. So the way I always look at it is if you get rejected, it's not always about you. It's not always about, oh, okay, you know, I wasn't good looking enough for them, or I wasn't nice enough for them. That person might just be finding someone else who is a better fit for them. Or maybe they are just not ready to pursue something serious right now. So we get caught up so much on rejection, but like I said, it should be looked as a redirection to go and find something else that might be a better fit for you. So I used to be in sales, and one of the things my manager used to say to me all the time was, win or lose early. You win or lose early on a deal. And the reason for that is fantastic. If we win a deal, it's great, wicked. We get the commission, everyone's happy, and we bring a new customer on board. But the next best thing after winning early is losing early, because you don't waste any time. And time in sales, I'm not comparing sales to dating, but actually there are components that are very similar. Because if you spend more time on getting to know someone and they're not a good fit, then you've wasted quite a bit of time because you haven't qualified it correctly.
It's a great analogy.
You haven't qualified it correctly. Whereas if you lose early and know that they're not a good fit, then you've won. You've won. Because you can put a line underneath it and you can go on to the next person. And that is success in itself. It doesn't have to be a winning every single time. Losing can be winning.
Oh, well, I think we can end it on that.
I've got one more.
Oh, go for it.
One more thing for you. So what's your sort of take on people that tend to be extremely reliant on being in relationships, who dot from relationship to relationship? Do you think that can be a healthy setup?
In what sense?
So I've got some friends that I know that would sort of quite often be in quite long relationships, then literally like within weeks, another one long term, like from one to the other. Do you think it's healthy to have single time in between long term relationships, or can it be a healthy setup to go from one long relationship right into the next?
Well, I think the first thing I will say on that, if they're going from one relationship onto the next, is there some kind of crossovers? Because if you're going from one serious to another serious, sure, there's got a bit of crossover there. Mm. So there's a questions in itself. If it's an immediate, like a few weeks after, then they're in a 3-year relationship, I'd be like, well, were you setting this up whilst you're in a relationship? So that's a red flag in itself. But I do think that, yes, it's very essential to have some time to understand what it is you're looking for. And that whether that means going on multiple dates and learning about yourself, learning what your boundaries are as an individual, but learning what your desires are as well. What are your turn-ons? What are your green flags? And that's really important, because I think if you're just jumping from relationship to relationship, you are not having any downtime. You know, we don't know how all those breakups may have taken place, but if they were quite chaotic and quite toxic breakups and you're just going into another relationship, you risk bringing in what happened in your previous relationship into the next relationship. You don't actually have a time to actually go back to the drawing board and press the reset button, which is essential.
It's really important. I always say, I think, being on your own, man, you really discover who you are as a person, and things that you might have not known about yourself when you bring into someone else into your life as well. I think it's just really important. I think a lot of people are scared to be on their own. If you come from early stages of being in relationships when you're younger, and then, you know, as you're getting older and that's all you know, it is quite scary to then just kind of be on your own and do your own thing. But it's very vital, I think.
Yeah, you have to learn. Sounds a little bit cheesy saying it, but you have to learn to love yourself, right?
Mm.
Learn to love yourself more than. Oh, I was about to say something else. Then. Learn to love yourself more than losing someone. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, because we are so caught up on, I hope that person's interested in me. I hope that person likes me. When you lose yourself in the process. How often does that happen? So many times, because we're trying to fit into a character that person wants us to be, and then we end up just completely losing ourselves in the whole process, when actually, if it affects your mental health, it's not worth it.
Yeah. Okay, so before, I was going to stop it there. We did touch upon a case study with someone, and I just want to know your advice. We have a friend who is...
It's just a, there's a lot of we have a friend.
It's us. It's us. It's just us, dude.
I think there's a lot of this going on right now.
So we've got this... This is one mate. It's Charlie. Okay. So we've got a friend.
No, it's not me.
This is not Charlie. We won't do names or anything like that, but for, you know, privacy purposes. But this friend has basically found the one for him. You know, he it seems that the person that he's met and the dating that they had over a period of maybe 6 to 8 weeks was, okay, this is the one person for me. However, this girl came out of a very serious relationship and they started dating, and then she kind of put on the brakes to kind of say, look, I need to be single, but then still stays in contact. And this person, our friend, still believes that she is the one. Is he wasting time by putting all his eggs in one basket by going, okay, I will wait for her when she's ready? Or should he be allowing himself to maybe date other people and maybe see that there are maybe other options, or he might actually find the one somewhere else rather than banking on the fact that she will have the time to come around and be the one for him?
Well,
just to add to that, he is still dating, but he's, I guess, maybe more closed-minded to other people because of this other girl, I'd say.
And he puts a lot of effort into it. So, like, birthdays, presents, and all that. You know, and she's still like, cool. And it's like where she will, they'll still stay in contact, but there's nothing more that's happening, and it's been a few months.
Have they gone on any dates?
Who?
Those two.
No. Since that conversation, no.
No.
And she's made it clear that she doesn't want anything right now.
Yeah. But they're still messaging every now and again, and like, seems very still emotional conversation still.
It's a tricky one because it sounds like they're friends, and it's like that love story, isn't it? Like, you know, you watch a couple of rom-coms and you're romanticizing the idea that they're going to turn around one day and go, actually, let's make it work. Mm. But you're treading water when you could be swimming. And the reality is, you need to go out and meet different people. I mean, it's good that he's dating, but at the same time, if he's still emotionally invested in this individual, then you're not giving other people a chance. You're giving people a half, you're giving people 50% when you should be giving them 100%. And 50% of you is A, not going to be an attractive trait for people that want to get to know you completely, but he's putting himself in a situation where he's not going to benefit himself because he's not actually allowing himself to see what else is out there. Does that make sense?
Mm. Yeah, I couldn't agree more.
Yeah. But the thing is as well is that if the girl does not want anything and she's been adamant, I do not want to have any kind of serious relationship right now, she should, and she knows that he likes her and likes her more than a friend, then it also the onus should be on her to say to him, listen, I like you as a friend right now and I'm not ready for anything serious. That needs, because it feels like there's a little bit of crumbs going on here. I'm not suggesting she's in the wrong, but if she hasn't made it categorically clear that there is nothing that's going to happen in terms of moving forward into a serious relationship, then the onus is on her to be having that conversation, because otherwise he's still going to be clinging on to something that's probably not there.
So how would you advise him to react to this situation?
I would advise him to successfully communicate with her and say, listen, I feel this way about you and I have done for a while. I want to know if there's something that can happen now, basically. I don't want to say, oh, you know, we want to wait a month or a year or whatever. I like you and I want to pursue something with you now. If you're not in that headspace, then I'm going to go somewhere else. Because I think also maybe a factor here is that girl knows that guy is going to keep coming back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if she knows he's going to keep coming back, then
the control is all hers.
The control is always going to be there. Control is always going to be there. And it's not to say they might not have something romantically in the future, but in reality, where we're at right now, like I said, he's treading water when he could be swimming.
Great. Yep. Well, whoever you are, friend out there, listen carefully, that was good advice. Anyway, thank you so much, Robert. It's been an absolute pleasure to have you on the podcast.
It has. It's really honestly, insightful. That's been a really interesting conversation.
Yeah.
I've gained a lot from that.
Yeah. No, it's written.
I'm not even joking. That is actually really interesting.
Yeah.
Really interesting.
Thanks really, for having really me on. I really appreciate it.
No,
really
honestly, it's been brilliant. Is there anything you'd like to plug whilst you're here? Your Instagram, things that you're doing at the moment, anything that you can give the audience a place where they can find advice? We've got a lot of high female audience, so.
Oh, fantastic. So, yeah, it's the best to kind of follow me on Instagram. It's Robert Van Tromp. And like I said, I pride myself on unfiltered approach to dating from a man's perspective. And I will be onboarding clients on a new business over the coming months as well for one-to-one coaching. And that is going to take place probably around end of October, November time. So, yeah, stay tuned.
Amazing. Well, we'll put all your details at the bottom of the description box.
I'll be signing up, of course.
Yeah, of course, we will be. But yeah, guys, thank you so much for following us and watching this episode. Please remember again to check out our exclusive episodes on Patreon, where you can see all the exclusive BTS, which we are currently filming right now. Like, subscribe, follow everyone here. And yeah, thank you very much. We'll see you next week.